Broadcasting.
And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Normally at this point, we'd be hearing radioactivity. We're going to hear more of today's Democracy Now!, in which Amy Goodman talks about the human the devastation on human beings in Puerto Rico with one of her guests, Naomi Klein. It's an incredible interview. We're going to hear more about that in just a moment. But we need to hear from a lot of people this morning as we raise money to try to reach that $220,000 goal. We've had a lot of people call in since 10 o'clock this morning and support Democracy Now! And all the other shows, Talking Animals, Art in Your Ear, the jazz shows, the blues shows, the morning shows. And we'd like to hear from, in this next hour, we'd like to hear from about 17 people, and we will reach the goal. Thanks to Sally Rabb from Clearwater, made a $10 a month increase on her circle of friends,
which is what we call
our sustaining membership. Sally, thanks a lot. And Elizabeth McKinnon is taking the Summer Fun Drive t-shirt for her $88.50 donation. Elizabeth, thanks for your great contribution. Our phone answers this morning, Jim Campoli, Kathleen Oxhorn, Margaret Shepard, Arlene Engelhart, Patty Perky, Frank Knox, Jim Drain, and Jeff Haynes. We need about 17 more people, Sean, and we'll be there. And we're going to hear more Democracy Now! In just about 2 minutes. And then later on in this hour, we're going to hear one of Robert F. Kennedy's greatest political speeches.
That's so great to hear that we will get to hear that. And we can only do that with your support. 813-238-8001. So we're looking for people who like radioactivity or Democracy Now! To call in right now. 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org.
And Blanny, we're going to go to hear Democracy Now! In just a moment. Remember, you can make your contribution online at WMNF.org. You were saying a moment ago, though, that you had a patient who showed you pictures of the devastation in Puerto Rico and how terrible it was, and it was she said it was worse than what we're hearing in this country, and that's really what we're hearing on Democracy Now! Today too.
And interesting, they're talking about and they're disaster capitalism, and you know, and explaining what that means, and with this disaster happening, slowly, Puerto Rico is being sold off more and more.
They're trying to privatize everything.
Privatizing public services, and it's, you know, we're seeing it here in the mainland too. And this is something we're not going to hear about this on regular newspapers or in the national TV stations, but you are hearing it here on WMNF.
Yeah, 53 radio stations here in the Tampa Bay area. No hour-long program on the privatization and the human death toll and the human misery in Puerto Rico. No hour-long program this week anywhere else but right here on WMNF. And these are our brothers and sisters there in Puerto Rico. Some are moving over here. What are we going to do about it? The richest nation on earth, it can certainly build bombs and bombers and aircraft carriers and all that, okay. But can we help the humans who are suffering in Puerto Rico? That's a question that Amy Goodman is asking right now. If you agree that it's important to focus on this, call us at 813-238-8001. We need to raise $1,800 more this hour. Let's see if we can get one phone call at 813-238-8001. Here's more of today's Democracy Now!
The governor just after the hurricane.
This is the CEO of Isla Verde Hotel Group, Keith from St. Clair.
And I said, I'm going to double down, I'm going to treble down, I'm going to quadruple down, because I believe in Puerto Rico. This is Isla Verde Beach, and to me, this is the finest urban beach in the Western Hemisphere.
This is the new pool that we're putting in.
We're building a new beach bar and restaurant. You'll see next door there's a new hotel. There'll be another new hotel on the point. Really, what the government is doing and has the chance to do is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to repair and rebuild the infrastructure of the island. And if the infrastructure is built well, if the electricity, the roads, the water is taken to 21st century levels, that can only help us all.
The big question hanging over the reconstruction is this: who is Puerto Rico for? Is it for Puerto Ricans? Or is it for outside investors and tourists? And after a collective trauma like Hurricane Maria, who has the right to make these fateful decisions? Because many Puerto Ricans have their own ideas about how to replace their shattered infrastructure. And it isn't about selling it off for profit. It's about reimagining how the island generates energy, feeds itself, teaches its kids, and heals its sick. A people's recovery. And like the shock doctrine, it was already underway before Maria.
This is Casa Pueblo's
Arturo Masol. It's a community-based organization with 38 years of history defending
our national territory. We have a commitment towards sustainable development. Solar power is our first and sole energy source. We were just a few in 1999 when we started with solar power. And all of a sudden, Casa Pueblo, after the hurricane, was still running.
Hello.
So people came here right after the hurricane to recharge their equipment. People came here with their equipment for respiratory therapy. This was an energy oasis for the community. Immediately after the hurricane, we distributed over 10,000 solar lamps to improve quality of life for the people. Now we have houses asking us for support, and we want to help people unplug from the grid, from fossil fuel. We should embrace a transition to clean energy sources. Solar is one. We have plenty of wind. We have water power. We have plenty of biomass that can be used as a source of energy to run our country. And I think Casa Pueblo, what we're doing is not waiting for the government, not waiting for the U.S. Congress. There's a resistance from everywhere. So we're gonna do whatever is at reach to change that landscape and to tell the people of Puerto Rico that a different future is possible.
Welcome to our farm. Here we are in Orocovis, the center of the island.
It's beautiful work.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
It is.
And it's green.
It's green, yeah.
We'd heard that there had been so much damage to the forest, but four months later...
Well, it was like a fire. Like a fire had passed. But now we're in shape.
And that last speaker, Farm School Director Dalma Cartagena. From the documentary, The Battle for Paradise, a short doc by The Intercept, featuring our guest, Naomi Klein. It was directed by Lauren Feeney. Naomi, the author of the new book, The Battle for Paradise, Puerto Rico Takes on the Disaster Capitalists. It's out today. She's launching it at Cooper Union, along with our other guests, who will rejoin in a moment.
Cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns.
Well, what an informative Democracy Now! We've been listening to right now, and we are fundraising here at WMNF. We're down to the last hour of fundraising, last 45 minutes of fundraising, and hoping to raise a total of $3,000 while News and Public Affairs is on the air. And thanks to Mary Forte Namuj from Tampa, just made a $5 a month contribution to WMNF. Mary, thanks a lot for that nice contribution, and we'll send you a bumper sticker. And these are the folks that are keeping WMNF going. It's so interesting to hear this Democracy Now. And if you haven't yet made a contribution to WMNF, the fund drive will end in 45 minutes. And by that time, we hope to be... within $20,000 of our overall goal. Our overall goal was $220,000, and we had a really great week. A few shows didn't reach their goal. Among them, none of the Democracy Nows reached their goal. So we're hoping today to get your donation, especially if you're a big fan of Democracy Now. We hope you will call us up at 813-238-8001. We're going to go back to our regular schedule, beginning with Nola's show at the top of the hour. He'll be here on the Midpoint program, but we've got to get at least one line lit at 813-238-8001. That's the number to call. And Blanny Whalen is here. I'm Rob Lori. We're finishing out the fun drive here. You hear a lot of people coming in and out of the doorways. doors are opening and closing. Lots of excitement here. But please make your contribution online. Go to WMNF.org and help us stay on the air so we can continue the mission of bringing you great non-commercial programming, especially programs that look at on our public affairs strip, programs that look at human rights and social justice, look at the cause of the environment. We really do keep you up to date with some of the big local events and national events and international events. We have a wide range of public affairs here on WMNF, and we hope that you will call us up and let us know that you you like the public affairs and news on WMNF. Here's the number to call again, 813-238-8001,
or WMNF.org.
And Sean, how much do we need to raise? Sean Canan is here. Sean, our goal is to raise $3,000. How much do we need to raise?
Yeah, we're almost halfway there. We still need $1,530. So we really need to hear from you right now. 813-238-8001.
Donating can be very, very painless. You can donate in installments, and you can become a Circle of Friends member for as little as $5 a month. That's about the price of one Frappuccino. So it is, except you get, you know, 7 days a week of this, 24 hours of this music, and you don't, isn't just one quick drink.
You know, I have money taken out of my checking account every month to pay for WMNF. I used to have I used to pay for a brick paver on the patio outside, and I paid for several brick pavers. It was actually pretty painless. That
it
was
is
when
painless.
We were donating $1,000 for a brick paver, and I've got two or three brick pavers out there. But now I have a similar amount taken out from my checking account every month. I never miss it. And at the end of the year, I get this notice from Gene saying that I've donated a large amount of money to WMNF because of my monthly donations. I don't even miss the money, and then I get a tax deduction at the end of the year. And I don't ask for a gift. That's just my way of doing things. But you can do whatever you want. If you want to get a T-shirt, make an $80 contribution. If you want to get the flash drive from Pacifica, make a $180 contribution. If you want to get the grocery bag, you can get the WMNF grocery bag for a $50 contribution. Blenny, we haven't had a call in the last few minutes. Let's see if we can get one phone call. If we're looking for Democracy Now! Fans especially. If you're a big fan of Democracy Now!, call us up at 813-238-8001, because Democracy Now! Did not reach its goal any of the 5 days of the drive.
You know, so there's a lot of shows that did not make their goals. And, you know, that tells a lot to the program director when we're making program changes. But if you have a show that's already passed, and all of them have, that didn't make its goal, you could maybe give it a little boost right now. Maybe you support Midpoint with NOLA that's coming up in next hour, and you'd like to support that show. Or maybe Midpoint with me on Mondays,
yeah,
or whatever, or Radioactivity or Democracy Now.
Mark Bureau or Daniel
I didn't
Ruth.
Intend that to be
Democracy Now. If you like Talking Animals, if you like From a Woman's Point of View, if you like Executive Session, and if you like Sustainable Living, or maybe you like Health and Nutrition with Eve Prang Plews,
or maybe you just like all of it.
Yeah, let's hope you do.
Yeah, just tell your phone answerer which show you want to support. It's very easy. They'll get you off the phone in a couple of minutes. It's very simple. Just call 813-238-8001 and support 88.5 FM WMNF.org.
All right. So Sean says we're about $1,600 away. Nobody's calling in, but we're about to play one of the great political speeches of all time. Today's the anniversary of the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We're not going to look back on his death, but we're going to look at one of the high moments of his career, where he gave a pretty all-encompassing speech. It's not too long, but we're going to listen to it. This is a speech that he gave in Kansas in March of 1968, and he talks about the great Kansas populist William White. That's how he starts off. But then he gets into talking about the Vietnam War and how we count the GNP and how to bring back the country from being so divided. It is one of the great speeches. We're going to hear it right now. And we're going to honor Robert F. Kennedy on the day he died. But let's see if we can get some people to donate, too. Remember, this is a radio station that takes a chance and plays speeches from time to time. Sometimes we carry debates. Sometimes we carry long half-hour, hour-long interviews. We're not afraid to go in-depth here at WMNF. And we've got to get at least one line lit at 813-238-8001. Let's hear the speech by Robert F. Kennedy, and we've got $1,600 to raise, and nobody on the line. I can't believe that.
And remember, you know, when you're listening to news and public affairs, I know I consider it my education. I learned so much from WMNF, and I know there are many listeners out here who take advantage of the education of the news and public affairs and have yet to donate this year. Please call in, and we'd love to hear from you. 813-238-8001.
Here's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. during his campaign for president from March of 1968.
I'm glad to come here to the home of the man who publicly wrote, "If our colleges and universities do not breed men who riot, who rebel, who attack life with all the youthful vision and vigor, then there's something wrong with our colleges. The more riots that come out of our college campuses, the better the world for tomorrow. Despite all the accusations against me, those words were not written by me. They were written by that notorious seditionist, William Allen White. And I know what great affection this university has for him. He is an honored man today, here on your campus and around the rest of the nation. But when he lived and wrote, he was reviled as an extremist and worse. For he spoke as he believed. He did not conceal his concern in comforting words. He did not delude his readers or himself with false hopes and with illusions. This spirit of honest confrontation is what America needs today. It has been missing all too often in the recent years, and it is one of the reasons that I run for President of the United States. We as a people are strong enough, we are brave enough to be told the truth of where we stand. And this country needs honesty and candor in its political life and from the President of the United States. But I don't want to run for the presidency. I don't want America to make the critical choice of direction and leadership this year without confronting that truth. I don't want to win support or votes by hiding the American condition in false hopes or illusions. I want us to find out the promise of the future, what we can accomplish here in the United States, what this country does stand for, and what is expected of us in the years ahead. And I also want us to know and examine where we've gone wrong. And I want all of us, young and old, to have a chance to build a better country and change the direction of the United States of America. This morning I spoke about the war in Vietnam, and I will speak briefly about it in a few moments. But there is much more to this critical election year than the war in Vietnam. It is at a root, the root of all of it, the national soul of the United States. The president calls it restlessness. Our cabinet officers such as John Gardner and others tell us that America is deep in a malaise of spirit. Discouraging initiatives, paralyzing will and action, and dividing Americans from one another by their age, their views, and by the color of their skin. And I don't think we have to accept that here in the United States of America. Demonstrators shout down government officials, and the government answers by drafting demonstrators. Anarchists threaten to burn the country down, and some have begun to try, while tanks have patrolled American streets and machine guns have fired at American children. I don't think that this is a satisfying situation for the United States of America. Our young people, the best educated and the best comforted in our history, turn from the Peace Corps and public commitment of a few years ago to lives of disengagement and despair. Many of them turned on with drugs and turned off in America. None of them here, of course, are candidates. Right? So we're all around us, not just on the question of Vietnam, not just on the question of the cities, not just on the question of poverty, not just on the problems of race relations, but all around us, and why you are so concerned, and why you are so disturbed. The fact is that men have lost confidence in themselves and each other. This confidence which has sustained us so much in the past. Rather than answer the cries of deprivation and despair, cries which the President's Commission on Civil Disorders tells us could split our nation finally asunder, rather than answer these desperate cries, hundreds of communities and millions of citizens are looking for their answers to force and repression and private gun stocks, so that we confront our fellow citizens across impassable barriers of hostility and mistrust. And again, I don't believe that we have to accept that. I don't believe that is necessary in the United States of America. I think that we can work together. I don't think we have to shoot at each other, to beat each other, to curse each other and criticize each other. I think that we can do better in this country. And that is why I run for President of the United States. And if we seem powerless to stop this growing division between Americans who at least confront one another, there are millions more living in the hidden places whose names and faces are completely unknown. But I have seen these other Americans. I have seen children in Mississippi starving, their bodies so crippled from hunger, and their minds have been so destroyed for their whole life that they will have no future. I have seen children in Mississippi, here in the United States, with a gross national product of $800 billion. I have seen children in the Delta area of Mississippi with distended stomachs, whose faces are covered with sores from starvation. And we haven't developed a policy so we can get enough food so that they can live, so that their children are not, so that their lives are not destroyed. I don't think that's acceptable in the United States of America, and I think we need a change.
We're going to take just 1 minute and take a break and try to get at least one phone call right now. We're listening to one of Robert F. Kennedy's greatest political speeches. It was made in March of 1968 in Kansas at the University of Kansas. And this is often called one of his best speeches ever. We're going to continue it in just a minute. We are $1,500 away from closing out this fund drive. Thanks to Patty Yovino from Land O'Lakes, made a $20 contribution. Thank you, Patty. Doug Morrison likes everything. And E. Prang Plu's Health and Nutrition Program, making a $10 a month contribution. Gina in Tampa, $25 donation, likes the Radioactivity Program. Gina, thank you. Daniel Robinson made a $100 contribution. Daniel, thank you, taking the Peace Magnet. And also thanks to Willis, making an $88.50 donation. Willis, thank you very much. We're going to go back to Robert F. Kennedy in just a moment. We're $1,500 away from reaching that goal. Thanks to Mark Andrews from Brandon, made a $10 a month contribution, taking the bumper sticker and the Summer Fund Drive t-shirt, and says public affairs and music are a great combination. Thank you. And BJ Curry from Tampa made a $200 contribution, taking the Summer Fund Drive t-shirt. We're just still about $1,500 away, maybe a little bit closer. Please call us up at 813-238-8001. You can make your contribution online. Go to WMNF.org. Let's go back to March of 1968. More of that speech by Robert F. Kennedy. Some people describe this as his greatest political speech ever.
I have seen Indians living on their bare and meager reservations with no jobs, with an unemployment rate of 80%, and with so little hope for the future, that for young people, for young men and women in their teens, the greatest cause of death amongst them is suicide, that they end their lives by killing themselves. I don't think that we have to accept that for the first American, for this minority here in the United States, that young boys and girls are so filled with despair when they're going to high school and feel that their lives are so hopeless and that nobody's going to care for them, nobody's going to be involved with them, and nobody's going to bother with them, that they either hang themselves, shoot themselves, or kill themselves. I don't think that's acceptable. And I think the United States of America, I think the American people, I think we can do much, much better. And I run for the presidency because of that. I run for the presidency because I have seen proud men in the hills of Appalachia who wish only to work in dignity, but they cannot. For the mines are closed and their jobs are gone. And no one, neither industry nor labor nor government, has cared enough to help. I think we here in this country, with the unselfish spirit that exists in the United States of America, I think we can do better here also. I have seen the people of the black ghettos listening to ever greater promises of equality and of justice as they sit in the same decaying schools and huddle in the same filthy rooms without heat, warding off the cold and warding off the rats. If we believe that we as Americans are bound together by a common concern for each other, then an urgent national priority is upon us. We must begin to end the disgrace of this other America. And this is one of the great tasks of leadership for us as individuals and citizens this year. But even if we act to erase material poverty, there is another greater task. It is to confront the poverty of satisfaction, purpose, and dignity that afflicts us all. Too much and for too long, we seem to have surrendered personal excellence and community values in the mere accumulation of material things. Our gross national product now is over $800 billion a year. But that gross national product, if we judge the United States of America by that, that gross national product counts air pollution and cigarette advertising and ambulances to clear our highways of carnage. It counts special locks for our doors and the jails for the people who break them. It counts the destruction of the redwoods and the loss of our natural wonder in chaotic sprawl. It counts napalm, and it counts nuclear warheads and armored cars for the police to fight the riots in our cities. It counts Whitman's rifle and Specs knife and the television programs which glorify violence in order to sell toys to our children. Yet the gross national product does not allow for the health of our children, the quality of their education, or the joy of their play. It does not include the beauty of our poetry, or the strength of our marriages, the intelligence of our public debate, or the integrity of our public officials. It measures neither our wit nor our courage, neither our wisdom nor our learning, neither our compassion nor our devotion to our country. It measures everything in short, except that which makes life worthwhile. And it can tell us everything about America, except why we are proud that we are Americans. If this is true here at home, so it is true elsewhere in the world. From the beginning, our proudest boast has been the promise of Jefferson that we here in this country would be the best hope of mankind. And now as we look at the war in Vietnam, we wonder if we still hold a decent respect for the opinions of mankind and whether the opinion maintains a decent respect for us, or whether, like Athens of old, we will forfeit sympathy and support, and ultimately our very security in the single-minded pursuit of our own goals and our own objectives. I do not want, and I do believe that most Americans do not want, to sell out America's interests to simply withdraw, to raise the white flag of surrender in Vietnam. That would be unacceptable to us as a people and unacceptable to us as a country. But I... concerned about the course of action that we are presently following from South Vietnam. I am concerned about the fact that this has been made America's war. It was said a number of years ago that this is their war. This is the war of the South Vietnamese, that we can help them, but we can't win it for them. But over the period of the last 3 years, we have made the war and the struggle in South Vietnam our war, and I think that's unacceptable. I don't accept the idea that this is just a military action, that this is just a military effort. And every time we have had difficulties in South Vietnam and Southeast Asia, we have had only one response. We have had only one way to deal with it. Month after month, year after year, we have dealt with it in only one way, and that's to send more military men and increase our military power. And I don't think that's the kind of a struggle that it is in Southeast Asia. I think that this is a question of the people of South Vietnam. I think it's a question of the people of South Vietnam feeling worth their effort, that they are going to make the sacrifice, that they feel that their country and their government is worth fighting for. And I think the developments of the last several years have demonstrated that the people of South Vietnam feel no association and no affiliation for the government of Saigon. I don't think it's up to us here in the United States. I don't think it's up to us here in the United States to say that we're going to destroy all South Vietnam because we have a commitment there. The commander of the American forces at Ben Tre said we had to destroy that city in order to save it. So 38,000 people were wiped out or made refugees. We here in the United States, not just the United States government, not just the commander of and forces in South Vietnam, the United States government and every human being that's in this room, we are part of that decision. And I don't think that we need do that any longer, and I think we should change our policy. Be part of a government. I don't want to be part of the United States. I don't want to be part of the American people and have them write of us as they wrote of Rome. They made a desert and they called it peace. I think we should go to the negotiating table, and I think we should take the steps to go to the negotiating table. I've said it over the period of the last 2 years. I think that we have a chance to have negotiations and the possibility of meaningful negotiations. But last February, a year ago, when the greatest opportunity existed for negotiations, the administration and the President of the United States felt that the military victory was right around the corner. And we sent a message to Ho Chi Minh in February 8th of 1967, virtually asking for their unconditional surrender. We are not going to obtain the unconditional surrender of the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong any more than they are going to obtain the unconditional surrender of the United States of America.
We're going to have to negotiate. We're going to have to make compromises. We're going to have to negotiate with the National Liberation Front. Now, people can argue that's unfortunate that we have to negotiate with the National Liberation Front. But that is a fact of life. We have three choices. We either can pull out of South Vietnam unilaterally and raise the white flag. I think that's unacceptable. Second, we can continue to escalate. We can continue to send more men there until we have millions and millions of more men, and we can continue to bomb North Vietnam. And my judgment, we will be no nearer success. We will be no nearer victory than we are now in February of 1968. The third step that we can take is to go to the negotiating table. We can go to the negotiating table and not achieve everything that we wish. One of the things that we're going to have to accept as American people, but the other alternative is so unacceptable. One of the things that we're going to have to accept as American people and that the United States government must accept is that the National Liberation Front, it's going to play a role in the future political process of South Vietnam. That we're going to have to negotiate with them, that they're going to play some role in the future political process of South Vietnam, that there are going to be elections, and the people of South Vietnam are ultimately going to determine and decide their own future. That is the course of action. That is the course of action that I would like to see. I would like to see the United States government to make it clear to the government of Saigon that we are not going to tolerate the corruption and the dishonesty. I think that we should make it clear to the government of Saigon that if we're going to draft young men, 18 years old of age here in the United States, if we're going to draft young men who are 19 years old here in the United States, and we're going to send them to fight and die in Quezon, that we want the government of South Vietnam to draft their 18-year-olds and their 19-year-olds. Make it clear that if the government of Saigon feels Quezon or Con Chien and the area in the demilitarized zone are so important, if Quezon is so important to the government of Saigon, I'd want to see those American Marines out of there and South Vietnamese troops in there. I want to have an explanation as to why American boys killed 2 weeks ago in South Vietnam were more than three times as many as the soldiers of South Vietnam. I want to understand why the casualties and the deaths over the period of the last 2 weeks at the height of the fighting should be so heavily American casualties as compared to the South Vietnamese. This is their war. I think we have to make the effort to help them. I think that we have to make the effort to fight, but I don't think we should have to carry the whole burden of that war. I think the South Vietnamese. And if I am elected president of the United States with your help, these are the kinds of policies that I'm going to put into operation. George Bernard Shaw once wrote, "Some people see things as they are and say why. I dream things that never were and say why not." I come here to Kansas to ask for your help. In the difficult 5 months ahead before the convention in Chicago, I ask for your help and for your assistance. If you believe the United States can do better, if you believe that we should change our course of action, if you believe that we should, that the United States stands for something here internally as well as elsewhere around the globe, I ask for your help and your assistance and your hand over the period of the next 5 months. When we win in November, and we begin a new period of time for the United States of America, I want the next generation of Americans to look back upon this period and say, as they said in Plato, joy was in those days but to live. Thank you very much.
Robert F. Kennedy challenging the sitting president and the Republican leaders to negotiate with North Vietnam at a time when that was a radical proposal. That was a speech that Robert F. Kennedy gave in Kansas in March of 1968. It's one of the great political speeches, especially because of that segment where he talks about the gross national product and says, why is napalm considered part of the gross national product? Why are we looking at building napalm as a positive thing? Well, one of the great political speeches, Robert F. Kennedy died on this day back in 1968. We are winding down the fund drive. We have about 15 minutes to go, and we've got to raise $770. Sean Canaan is here, and Blandy Whalen is here. We're going to try to raise that last $770. Some people have called in. Thanks to Karen Worley from Tampa just called in. Karen, thanks a lot. She is making $200 donations. Thanks, Karen. So that means that we need to raise $569, and we'll be there. 813-238-8001. We're going to end the official fund drive at 12 noon today. We hope to raise $3,000 while public affairs is on the air. And Karen, thanks a lot. That's a big help. We're just $570 away.
Rob, I'd like to thank Teresa Zakek from Tampa with a $20 contribution supporting Radioactivity. Thank you for that donation. 813-238-8001.
And I'd like to thank Brent Armstrong, who is pledging $100, and he's getting the Jimi Hendrix Both Sides of the Sky, and he is supporting Radioactivity with Rob Loring.
Hey, well, you know, and we've got a lot of great thank you gifts. Our phone answers are experts in what thank you gifts are left, including that Jimi Hendrix CD. So call up and you can kind of make a deal with the phone answers. They'll tell you about the Jimi Hendrix CD and all the other things. So with that donation, I think we're only $470 away.
That's a great new Jimi Hendrix CD. Steven Sills is on it, but yeah, 813-238-8001, whatever the donation, whatever the thank you gift you'd like, we really do need to hear from you now. It's in the final seconds, really, of the WMNF fundraising drive for this summer. 813-238-8001.
I'd also like to thank Linda LaPointe, who has pledged $50, and she's breaking it up into $25. And it, just so you know, you whatever you pledge, we'll break it up into 2 months, 3 months, 12 months, and make it easier for you.
Yeah, you can do that. Donate $10 a month if that's easy for you, or $5 a month. 813-238-8001. And Blandy, I think we're $420 away from reaching the goal.
Oh, we're getting so close. If people would just call, see, and talk to those wonderful volunteers in the back. I also like to mention that, you know, we have some great restaurants and people that are feeding some of our volunteers, including Bavaro's Pizza and Pastoria, located at 514 North Franklin Street in downtown Tampa. They sent Penny Pomodoro, I hope I'm saying that right, with arugula salad. And we really appreciate all the folks at our repeat in-kind donor, Bavaro's.
All right, Bavaro's in downtown Tampa. I've been there. That's a great place. Now, thanks to Julie Harris from Tampa, made a $120 contribution. That's great. Julie, thank you very much. I know we're under $500. If we got a $500 donation right now, we would go over for the News and Public Affairs goal. The last few minutes, the News and Public Affairs had a goal of $3,000 this morning for the 2 hours that we've been given. And let's see if we can go over that goal. We're just $500 away. We are closing down this fund drive. Thanks to you if you've made a contribution, but we're looking for those procrastinators. Maybe you didn't get a chance to call in. Maybe you've been on vacation. Maybe you've been away at work and now you're back in town. We'll make that contribution. Keep this radio station on the air. 813-238-8001. Julie, thanks a lot for that nice contribution. Well, we are somewhere around $420 away from reaching that goal.
We are
very
so close.
We are so close, we can almost taste it.
Yep.
So let's see if we can reach this goal. 813-238-8001. You can also make your contribution online at WMNF.org. Blandy, you know, if three people were to take the flash drive, I think we'd be very close. And Sean's going to give us a total. Sean, what's the word?
Yeah, Rob, we still are $324.50 short. So that means that if you can donate a dollar a day to 88.5 FM, you would put us over the top.
50 cents.
That flash drive may be wonderful for all you news and public affairs junkies because it's got everything and a lot of entertaining interviews too. Bob Dylan, what are some of the other ones?
Leonard Cohen, George Carlin is on this. Lots of comedy from George Carlin.
Yeah.
Dick Gregory, the great comedian, is on there talking both about politics and he's doing some comedy. So you can have this flash drive. It has all the great feminist authors are on this. Margaret Mead, the great anthropologist, is on this. There's a documentary devoted to Alfred Hitchcock, the film director.
Oh, boy.
It is just amazing.
Yeah.
It's the size of your little finger, and it has 1,350 hours of programs on it from Pacifica. Sean, we're how much? $324 away?
Yeah, about that. And so if you can donate a dollar a day, maybe you can donate $365 right now, or maybe $30 a month, whatever it is that would help us to put us over the top, 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org.
All right, well, one $500 donation would put us over the top. Let's see if we can get that. Or three people taking the flash drive, or four people taking, let's see, what could you take for four?
Oh, one person taking the passport pass.
Yeah, which that's is a $365 donation, a dollar a day. Mm-hmm. Make that donation and get into 10 WMNF events. It's 10 tickets to upcoming WMNF events. Your choice, wherever you want to go. 813-238-8001. We've got about 8 minutes to go. We've got to raise $320 some, and we're hoping that you will help make this marathon a success, especially the last few hours of this fund drive. We'd like to go over our $3,000 goal. If you enjoyed listening to Robert F. Kennedy and that speech, which is rarely heard, you certainly aren't going to hear that speech tonight on cable TV, not the 25-minute version of that speech that we played. Call us up, 813-238-8001. Blandy, I see another line just lit up, so that's good. We probably need just one or two more people to reach the $3,000 goal. We're looking for a $500 donor. You would certainly put us way over the top. 813-238-8001. But we want to raise $3,000 during the 2 hours of public affairs this morning before we go back to regular programming at noon. And we are not there yet. You know, if you love this station, it really is a labor of love. About 200 volunteers come and do radio programs. And then there's about 12 paid staff. We have a signal that reaches into the homes of 4.4 million people here in the Tampa Bay area. And when we started, we were in an old house in Hyde Park in Tampa on the mm-hmm. second floor that we rented for $300 a month. And we built the studios by hand. We built the initial broadcast equipment, most of it by hand, including our control board. And we've come a long way. We have now this beautiful state-of-the-art radio facility, probably the nicest community radio building in the country. We have live music on all the time. We really invite people from the community to do PSAs, to do interviews about their activities. We invite a lot of local musicians to come on the air and have their music played. It really is an amazing resource, and we're keeping it alive with your kindness. So please make that kindness in the form of a $100 contribution right now. 813 813- 833-238-8001. We are just $320 away from reaching the goal.
Yeah, Rob, I should tell you, it's very exciting back there in the phone answering room. We have three people on the line right now. If we heard from two people right now just getting that thumb drive, then that would put us over our goal for this hour. If you can donate $180 and get the Pacifica Radio Voices That Change the World thumb drive, and if you called right now, that would really help us to meet that goal. 813-238-8001. You can also make your donation on our website, WMNF.org. It's secure. You can make it on the WMNF smartphone app, and it's easy to donate there as well. Or if you'd like to talk to one of our great volunteers, they're awesome people back there, give us a call. 813-238-8001. Say that you support radioactivity, you support hearing great speeches like this RFK speech. 813-238-8001.
You know, somebody making a $500 donation, mm-hmm. taking the benefit pass for one for the coming 13 months would certainly help us reach the goal for the public affairs and end this drive on a positive note. Let's see if we can get, I think we're about $324 mm-hmm. away. We are very close. Call us up at 813-238-8001. We're celebrating community radio here, and all these names that we're reading, these are the heroes that are keeping WMNF on the air till October. Please be one of our heroes today by going online. Go to WMNF.org, and you can make your contribution there. We're just essentially three or four donations away from being where we want to be.
Yeah, that $500 pass gets one person in to all the WMNF events. I'm a WMNF pass member, circle of, and I have it divided up monthly, and I'm a VIP. I go into any of the WMNF events and get right in and just
you
get
just
my
show your card.
Just show it up. Just yeah. show up.
You call Julie beforehand and show your card. And
not always.
Not depends, always. You sure? Yeah,
depends if it's going to be sold out or
yeah,
not.
You want to make sure you get a seat. Well, we're just about three or four phone calls away. Thanks to Carlos Velasquez from Sefner, who just made a $24.61 donation. Mm-hmm. Carlos, thank you for that. And can we get that last? Can we get? Let's see. With that, we need about $300.
813-238-8001. We still need to hear from you. Betty Phelps called from Land O'Lakes, and she's donating $180. Thank you
wow.
so much.
Wow. So that means, Sean, that means that we're just one $180 oh. contribution away.
That would be great.
Well, I might have that 180.
No, okay, well, all right.
And Betty is getting the Voices That Change the World Pacifica Radio flash drive, so you could get that as well with your $180 donation. 813-238-8001.
Can we get that last donation at 813-238-8001? I'll tell you what, let's just take a little bit more and hear, let's take a break and hear just a little bit more of this music from Abdullah Ibrahim, Dollar Brand, here on WMNF in Tampa. We're $180 away. Well, this fund drive began last Wednesday morning at 6 a.m., and we had hoped to raise $220,000. We didn't quite get there. I think a lot of people are on vacation, so this morning we were about $25,000 behind, but in the interim, in the last few hours, we've made up quite a lot, and we are going to go over the $200,000 mark shortly, especially with your contribution at 813-238-8001. Here are the last few people we want to thank. Thanks to John Henry Walsh from Hollywood, Florida, making a $100 contribution to WMNF. Blanny, you've got somebody to thank, too.
I do. I was hoping to get one. And for a pledge of $180, Steve Weisenbacher has done the Circle of Friends, so which mm-hmm. he's dividing that up to $15 a month and for a total of $180.
Wow,
and
that's great. That's
great. It is
great.
Wonderful. And he is getting the Pacifica Radio flash. So
Great,
that's awesome.
Great choice. Thank you. And John Foster from Boca Grande is donating $100, supports Democracy Now! Thank you to everyone who has called in their pledges. Thank you to everyone who's donated this week. We still could hear from you now. 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org if you support the great programming here on 88.5 FM WMNF.
You know, Sean and Blanny, I think we raised $3,000. We're actually going over that $3,000 mark right now as we speak. This is really exciting. Three people are on the line. We're going to come back in about 5 minutes and let you know how we did. This is WMNF in Tampa. Thank you very much for your contribution. You are making this radio station a success.